Fanboy SmackDown. Today on the Fanboy SmackDown podcast, we answer Danny's question, and we have a special guest host. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Julie.
And welcome to the Fanboy SmackDown podcast, episode number 13. Tonight we have a special co-host.
Hi, everybody.
And this is my wife, Julie. Tony couldn't be with us this evening. He's way frickin' busy this week. So we decided to try something different and go with a co-host. You want to say anything else?
I'm here under duress, so please forgive me if I sound like an idiot.
And she's not drinking, so she's not following the rules.
Chocolate counts, doesn't it?
For a co-host, I guess we can make that that exception. Tonight we are going to go with the theme that Danny proposed, and we played the voicemail at the end of the last episode. And we're going to go ahead and play the voicemail again, just in case anybody missed the last episode, or if this is your first shot at listening to the podcast. And we'll go ahead and play that right now.
Hey, Tony and Tony, this is Danny and NC, and I've got a question for you. Are there certain plot lines or elements that you will always go see in a movie, even though the movie has gotten bad reviews? For instance, I am a sucker for the teacher goes to the bad neighborhood and turns the students around story. I don't care how bad the movie is. I will watch it. I don't care how predictable the plot is, and you know that they're going to win the contest or pass the test or whatever it is at the end. I'm still going to watch it. Another thing is I'm in love with retro, you know, like 40s, 50s, 60s era. Mona Lisa Smile and Down with Love were two movies that got awful reviews. They were boring and trite and predictable, and the reviewers were right. But the clothes, oh my God, they were gorgeous, especially in Down with Love. I will watch Down with Love anytime because it reminds me of all my favorite Doris Day movies. Even though the plot in this one was predictable, I still love it. So I want to know, what element or plot line are you willing to go see no matter how predictable or how awful the reviews? Thanks. Ciao.
Okay, well, Tony, we know Danny's picks. What are yours?
I like anything, pretty much anything that was part of a comic book. If superhero stuff, I like Road to Perdition. I mean,
was a comic book?
Yeah, it was a graphic novel. Anything that started off as a comic book, normally I'm there. I think about the only movie that was a comic book that I just couldn't even bother to go see was Catwoman. Just that one was so universally banned. But
isn't that Danny's point, that you'll go see it no matter what, even if it's been panned?
Yeah, but once I found out enough about the movie, it really wasn't.
Halle Berry in a cat suit.
No, not really. It was Halle Berry in shredded leathers, which is different. But that's my biggest one, and then probably pretty much anything with Kevin Smith that he does, that he writes and directs, anything with Kevin Spacey, really enjoy his stuff.
Except Seven.
Seven wasn't a good movie.
It's an awesome movie.
No, it was predictable.
I'm getting us off track, but
that's
I love
fine.
Seven.
No. We always get off track. If you would listen to the show, you would know.
I do listen to the show. I need an MP3 player so you can
record. So if somebody wants to send Julie an MP3 player so she can listen to the show, send us an email. We'll set you up. No, I'm not a fan of Seven. I thought he did a fine job. I just didn't really care for the script. But yeah, I mean, those are probably my picks. And for the most part, I enjoy most of the movies that I see coming out of those groupings. I mean, there's always exceptions. You always have a Catwoman or a Seven in the bunch. But I know I'm probably going to get all kinds of email about Seven. That's fine. I don't care. But yeah, those are the movies that I tend toward. I guess we could go ahead and read one of the email. We got a couple of them, so we're gonna kind of scatter them throughout the show just to mix it up a little bit. Let's see. I think the first email we got was from Jeremy, and he said that he has to admit he has a weak spot for sci-fi. And no, it's not any more specific than that. Any sci-fi movie with any kind of promise, and he's there. He was even there on opening night for Johnny Mnemonic. And he still watches it any chance he gets, which, dude, we might need to talk about that. Fifth Element, while fun, was no big eye-opener either. And I'm there watching it over and over, and not to get Tony going again, but I still watch the Matrix movies, which I think he must be talking about me. Even though the last two destroy everything that was cool about the first, he even then has in quotes, I guess the Wachowski brothers could have just hired Sophia Stewart to write those ones also. Now, I did a little bit of research on Sophia Stewart, and she apparently sued the Wachowski brothers for the story of the Matrix. She claimed that she had written a story that was similar to the Matrix stories. Let's see. He goes on to say, Star Wars, Star Trek, Stargate, doesn't matter.
I see a star theme going on here.
sci-fi. Anything with stars. He may not get to the theater, but he will get to see him. He always does. He goes on to say that... the teenage sports movies, he also likes those, like Varsity Blues and Friday Night Lights. He'll watch those over and over again also. Says we had a great last show, and he refers to a certain type of snake on a certain type of plane, and we're not going to really go too much farther than that because we're not going explicit on this show.
Was he another one of those crazy people that was out at 10 o'clock at night watching the movie?
Probably. Probably. There were a lot of us crazies.
Uh-huh.
But that was the most fun, seeing a movie like that, being amongst a crowd like that.
Sure.
So what type of movies will you always want to go see?
Or what type of movies will I always drag you to?
We'll talk about that in a little while.
Well, I'm going to be a total chick and be predictable and say romantic comedies. I love them, and I will just go see anyone that's out. Usually they tend to fall around my birthday and Valentine's Day, which is good because then I can con you into going with me. But give me a Pretty Woman or a Runaway Bride or anything like that on cable, and I can just sit down and veg for a couple hours and watch
yes,
a movie.
Yes, you can.
I can.
I can attest to that.
As many times as you whine and complain, oh my god, that Pretty Woman's on again.
Yep, this is also a bad movie.
It's not, it's awesome. I also liked Never Been Kissed with Drew Barrymore.
That one was pretty good.
And The Wedding Planner, that one was good. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But Matthew McConaughey was in it, so that was fine. Am I going to get in trouble for that one?
We'll see.
And When Harry Met Sally. Love that one. That's an oldie but a goodie.
That one's pretty good.
And Princess Bride. I don't know if that really counts as romantic comedy, but that's one of my favorites.
You're going fantasy on that one. That's a genre flick.
Ooh.
That would be considered.
That would probably be the only fantasy movie on my list of things that I would enjoy.
A lot of the.
And actually,
unless you look at Pretty Woman, because.
Oh, don't go there. It is possible a millionaire could fall in love with a hooker. It's possible.
In fantasy, yes.
And Princess Bride, actually, the first time I saw it, I really didn't like it. I remember we were in high school, and we were having a sleepover, so then a friend's house, and then one of my friends had rented it, and we sat there watching it, thinking, oh my God, this is just the stupidest movie I've ever seen. And then I watched it again a couple years later and just fell in love with it and thought it was the cutest movie.
And I'm probably going to lose...
So thank you, Melanie.
I'm probably going to lose my geek cred on this one, but I really don't care for The Princess Bride. I know that probably takes me down a few geek points, but I just...
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh, I forgot that one. Yes, that's a good one. That's not quite a romantic comedy, though.
No. If it has music and dancing, though.
That could be another
category. You didn't include that one.
That what?
In your categories. Grease.
Oh, that's true.
You watch any of those. Selena.
I did not watch Selena.
You did.
I've watched.
You
it
had
once.
To go watch it. I'm not saying this isn't about how many times will you go back and watch the same movie. It's will you seek out movies like that?
No, Selena, I watched just because there was the whole thing with her being killed and everything, and I didn't know anything about her. And her songs had come out, and I liked her songs, and so that's why I watched Selena.
So it was the music thing.
Plus, it was the whole real life murder drama thing.
Yeah,
I'll watch any of those. Those tend to be TV movies, though, but I will watch any of those.
Yes, you will. Any of the JonBenet, any of that.
Fatal Vision, the one about the Green Beret murders. Yeah, I'll watch that one too. But, I mean, those are TV. I don't know
they're
if that
TV
counts.
Movies. I mean, we talk about stuff on DVD. So, okay. And I mean, they are movies. You know, granted, they didn't hit the theater. Some of them are actually coming out on DVD. So, we can throw those in there.
Okay. I also really like anything marketed to teenage girls.
Yeah.
All the Mean Girls and Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen and Bring It On. I love Bring It On. I'll watch the beginning and end sequence of Bring It On. I don't know how many times. You've probably never even seen that, have you? At the beginning, they have this whole sequence with the cheerleaders. The main girl's having a dream about being a cheerleader. And she's dreaming and they're all doing this big cheer about being cheerleaders and being little snobs and everything. And then at the end, they... I'll sing Mickey. Gotta love cheerleaders singing Mickey.
Yep. So is there any other?
In honor of our munchkin, probably kids' movies. We go see a lot of those now. Just about anyone that comes
we
out.
We saw a lot of those
well, we
before
did.
You
we always
around.
Saw. Yeah, we all would always go see the Pixar movies.
Yep.
That's how we knew to buy them for him.
We bought.
Actually, I think
we bought those. Yeah, we bought quite a few of those before he was around.
Yeah, I know we had Toy Story and Monsters Inc. before the Munchkin came.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and go into another email. Since we did a woman's point of view, let's go ahead and do another woman's point of view. And this is from Chris from Two Girls in a Podcast. She says, hey, Tony and Tony, I wanted to leave you guys some feedback for the question that Danny asked you guys. Are there certain movie elements that you are a sucker for? Well, in my case, I'm a sucker for the heist film. Don't ask me why, but even knowing that it will likely have bad writing, bad acting, and a silly plot, I can't resist them. I believe that the guiltiest pleasure film in that set I have ever gone to see was The Real McCoy. Wow, bad movie. But I had to see it, and I still somehow managed to like it. I like the heist movies, too. They can be a lot of fun, and it's always fun to see how many times they can twist on the ending before you finally realize how it's going to end.
That's just because you like to predict the end.
Well, heist movies, you can't. I mean, they set them up in such a way that you don't tend to be able to.
But you still do.
Yeah. Most of the time I do. I like the heist movies. What were you going to say?
I don't remember.
You were one of the very few...
Oh, people that figured out The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
You could figure out heist movies.
Yeah, I did figure out The Sixth Sense. And Unbreakable. But then again, it was pretty easy to figure out Unbreakable knowing it was a comic book movie. Once you figured out it was actually a comic book movie, it became very predictable.
Not to me.
Let's see, Chris goes on to say, another thing that gets me are films like The Juror, where you know where the female lead is in trouble and has to manage to find a way out of the spider's web. That one I think I enjoy because they make my spine tingle, and I much prefer a good spine tingle to a flat-out scare. She says, there you go. That was my evilly long, rambly answer to the question of the week. She gives a little smiley face. Because she knew that I would have to read it. Because I was teasing her about leaving a message instead of sending in a comment. But
I'm here, because you wanted me to do a comment, and I wouldn't. So how did I get stuck guest hosting?
You should have just left the voicemail then.
I should have. I learned my lesson.
See what happens? If you don't leave voicemail when I ask, I'm going to make you co-host.
So that's how you conned Anthony into it.
Yeah, pretty much. So that pretty much, we've got one more email. We'll get to that in a minute. But there was one thing I wanted to kind of talk about, since we were both here and we're talking about these kinds of movies. What kind of movies do you think that I have drugged you to? Movies that you really weren't all that interested in seeing, and you felt like I dragged you to them.
And then that I either liked or didn't like.
Either way.
Well, you just mentioned one of them, Unbreakable. You dragged me to that one by telling me it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and I enjoyed The Sixth Sense so much, thought I would really like Unbreakable too. No way. Did not like that movie. I still don't like that movie.
It's a great movie.
No. Chasing Amy is another one you made me watch. And I thought I'd like it because I like the other Kevin Smith ones, but something about Chasing Amy.
You need to watch it again.
Why?
You need to watch it again.
Something about Chasing Amy I just can't get over. What else have you dragged me to?
I don't drag you to nearly as many movies as you drag me to.
That's because I used the whole Valentine's Day birthday con to get you to go to things. I already mentioned that.
That, and I'll go see movies without you.
That's true. I won't. I am a wimp about going to see movies by myself.
So,
or at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah, go to some midnight movies.
What have I dragged you to?
Probably the one movie we always mention because it was so colossally bad was Notting Hill.
I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy.
Oh man, that was a
bad movie. I even admit that was a horrible movie. Bad movie.
That was bad. there was one that you rented that was. I think we both thought it was so bad, but we just kept watching it. It was that stupid damn Madonna movie.
The one where
the
she
next
had the
best
kid.
Thing.
Yeah, that was
something
bad.
Like that. Her and
the British guy, Rupert Everett.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That was colossally bad.
But anything with Madonna is going to be colossally bad.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a romantic comedy, even though wasn't he gay in it?
Yeah.
So I don't see
bit.
How the romantic comedy thing was in my head, but.
He was gay, and they got drunk, and she got pregnant, and that makes so much sense, and that was the whole premise of the
was
movie.
Was it really? I don't even remember that.
Oh, man, yeah.
I guess I blocked that from my memory.
Oh, I tried. I so tried.
There was one time we had some kind of movie fest where we went to go see something, can't remember what it was, and then we went to go see the wedding, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Afterwards. And we both came out of it liking My Big Fat Greek Wedding better than
that
the
was
other
a
thing.
Fun movie.
It was
a good
but
movie.
But I remember you did not want to go to that. I dragged
no,
you.
I
somehow
didn't.
We compromised on whatever this other movie
right.
was. And we both liked it better.
Yeah. I don't remember what the other movie was now either. But yeah, I do remember that. What are you pointing at? Go ahead and say it. She took notes. It's okay. We're all friends here. It's all right.
Stop.
If you would have done a shot before that we started, everything would be fine.
I had cherry cordial Hershey Kisses. That's plenty.
Those
for
are
me.
Your shots.
They are. If anybody has not had these things, you really have to try them. They are the best. Anyway, back to the subject. We went to go see like a sneak preview double feature thing of The Wedding Planner with Saving Silverman because, of course, The Wedding Planner was Matthew McConaughey. Romantic comedy. I had to go see it, and then Saving Silverman. That looked funny, and we saw it afterwards. And we both love Saving Silverman a lot more than
it was kind of a jackass comedy. I mean, it was fairly lowbrow, but after seeing The Wedding Planner,
The Wedding Planner wasn't bad.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't great.
But you can't beat Amanda Peet at the end getting her tooth knocked out at the wedding.
Yeah.
And Sammy Zimmerman. It was just funny. And,
yep.
And a lot of fun with Neil Diamond and everything.
I remember another one you dragged me to. Another colossally bad one. Sweet Home Alabama.
That was not that,
that
bad.
That was bad. I remember.
You still want to know how to make those lightning glass sculptures, though.
Yeah. I still don't believe you can do that. Which you probably can. Somebody probably does it. I remember walking out of the movie. Do you remember walking out of the movie and what I said to you?
No.
About her?
I probably blocked it out of
about my memory. About what I wished happened to her at the end of that movie?
I think that she'd gotten struck by lightning.
Yes. Yeah, there's this scene. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie and for some reason you really want to. Here's going to be a little spoiler. There's a scene at the end of the movie where she's going after the guy that for some reason she still wants and he still wants her, in his lightning rod field on a beach. Okay. That should tell you everything why I don't like this movie. But she runs out and she jumps into his arms and he carries her off and everybody's happy. My thought was that this movie would be incredible if at that moment she got struck by lightning. And she said, Julie says, oh, you're awful. Come to find out, in the DVD extras of this movie, there's an alternate ending where she does, in fact, get struck by lightning.
There was not.
There is. There's a DVD.
Why do you even know about the DVD extras? It's not like we bought it or anything.
Because I saw them on something.
Oh, okay.
That
really was a bad movie. Even for being a romantic comedy, which, of course, I'm a sucker for, it was just bad because they set it up that the fiance that she had, she just totally ends up dumping him, and he's a nice guy. He doesn't do anything bad to her. She goes back to this the guy
that stands up to his. He even stands up to his own bitchy mom for her.
Buys out the jewelry store for the night to propose to her. I mean, God,
he does everything right.
Right. It's like they needed to just do something to make him a jerk or, you know, have him find somebody who
was actually nice.
Who fell head over heels for him, something. I just felt bad for him leaving the movie. Because, of course, she didn't get hit by the lightning that Tony wanted.
Boy, if she would have, that would have been just a prime movie for me.
I did try to get to go see How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yep.
And you really like that one. That's another one I can watch anytime.
You kind of dragged me to see, what was that one that he was just in with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Failure to Launch.
That one. I like that one, too.
I like that. Again, I think that was another one of my birthday excuses.
I think so.
Everybody's going to start thinking you're really cheap. All we do is go to movies for my birthday.
I've got you shooting low.
See, you've trained me well.
Here it is. I don't take you to see these kind of movies, so you get so desperate to see these kind of movies, they come out around your birthday. So for you, that's the highlight, man.
Woo, that dinner at Applebee's. Woo-hoo!
That's right. Only the best for you, baby. All right. We've got one more email, and I think we'll be just about wrapped up here. This one's from Darren. Before I get into his email, though, I do want to mention that the Fanboy Smackdown does have a forum now on it's the website is called Power Up Gamers, and that's powerupgamers.com. This is a website that, as the name implies, was started for people who are primarily into gaming, any kind of gaming, PC, console games. They're always talking about the latest games. They've got groups that meet on Xbox Live, and they have little tournaments and such amongst the group members. I'm even trying to get a Guild Wars guild together there, but so far I haven't had any takers. But we do have a forum that has been started there, and Darren is one of the moderators on the forum. This is the kind of forum that you have to sign up for before you can view the messages or post on it. They're trying to keep it under control. They don't want it to get turn into a big flame fest over there, and I can completely appreciate that. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
For people in the know, flame fest,
flaming was what old school bulletin board people did. That just means just ripping on people for no good reason, name calling, trash talk, that just degenerates into just ugliness. And they try to avoid that, and they avoid that by making everybody sign up. Anybody from our group here, Fanboy Smackdown, is welcome. We have our own little spot on the forums, and if for some reason we end up growing beyond that, we may end up branching off at some point. But right now, I think it's a really good collaboration. We've picked up some listeners from the Power Up Gamers group, and by all means, we want everybody to join up over there and join in on the discussions. They don't just have gaming discussions. There's some people there that do theatrical reviews of movies, DVD reviews of movies. There's a number of threads on current television shows. So by all means, powerupgamers.com. I'll go ahead and put a link in the show notes. But I did want to throw that out since I did promise to talk about that in last show for this one. Anyway, on to Darren's email. He said this is in regards to Danny's question. Really, there isn't anything that is a guaranteed draw for me to go see a movie, regardless of reviews. Now, with that said, I must admit, if a movie does have some sort of virtual cyber/computer element to it, it's a bit of a draw for me, but it's not a guarantee that I'll go see it. Also, I tend to think one can't go wrong with movies that take place on board a submarine or feature flesh and brain-eating zombies. I think he means those separately.
I should hope so. It'd be really tough to be stuck on a submarine with brain-eating zombies.
I don't remember.
There's like nowhere to run.
I don't know of any movies that have both submarines and brain-eating zombies. But there might be.
I would bet. So watch Sci-Fi Saturday Night. There probably is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's see. I think a lot of the different submarine movies, and in most cases, they're all great. Hunt for Red October, U-571, Das Boot, which he says is the king of submarine movies, and that's a pretty commonly held belief on that one. K-19, Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide's a really good one, and they make some good comic book references.
I never realized there were so many submarine movies.
Run Silent, Run Deep. He says, hell, I even like the Kelsey Grammer movie Down Periscope, which I've seen that movie, and, dude, I don't know if I'd be admitting that.
He said he's seen it, not liked it.
No, he said, I even like the Kelsey Grammer movie Down Periscope. And the best Star Trek movie of all time, Wrath of Khan, can virtually play like a submarine movie in its space. And that's true. It very much does have that feel to it, and that's probably why it played so well. It really had that same dynamic to it.
I thought it was because of Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban yelling, Kirk! Was great. And then Kirk yelling, Khan! Great moments in filmmaking.
Yep.
With zombie movies, well, it almost always seems that there's a great sense of urgency in all of them. Well, yeah, running from zombies, you tend to be kind of urgent about that. For the most part, you pretty much know what you're going to get, which is true. I mean, if you watch a zombie movie, you go to a zombie movie knowing you're seeing a zombie movie and pretty much knowing how it's going to play out. He says, wait, I did forget. There's one thing that for me is a guaranteed draw, and that's the movies that feature the aliens from the Alien series. Alien, Alien 2, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, and Alien vs. Predator are all real fun for me to watch, and if a new Alien movie is announced tomorrow, I know that I'd certainly intend on seeing that. And by the way, that would certainly make a great series for you guys, for you guys sometime. Which, that's true, I mean, it's a really good series of movies. It's had a lot of good people attached, both in the making of the movies and the people acting in them. Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton,
The alien jumping out of the chest.
William Hurt, which is who the... I believe that's who the alien jumped out of. Winona Ryder was in one. And then Alien vs. Predator, that'd be a good one to talk about later just because of some of the fan reaction to that one. There was a little bit of a turmoil over that movie in the fan community. But he goes on to say, great episode as always. So thanks, Darren. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Is there anything, any other movies that you've thought of that that you wanted to mention that you've seen?
Nope. Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and call this one done.
Okay. Be kind in your comments to everyone.
Send in your comments. Let us know what you thought of our wonderful guest host.
Be kind to the guest host.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us and for doing this on kind of short notice. I only asked you this morning to do this. And you did a great job. I know you're kind of nervous about that. You did a wonderful job. And I'll go ahead and wrap this up by giving all the wonderful ways you can contact us. You can contact us on Skype, Fanboy Smackdown. On the website, we've got our comment section, which I must say the comment section has exploded in the last couple of days. As of the last episode we recorded, there were 4 comments. Now there's over 20. I think we're like approaching 30 comments. So I know it's small scale, but it is. There's a growing group of comments there on various episodes. So if you want to comment on specific episodes in the past, feel free to jump on there. We're not going to talk about any of the specific comments that are going on now. We might include that later on in a feedback show. But
you can always include glowing comments about the guest host.
Yes. Yes. of course, you can also send us an email, fanboysmackdown@gmail.com. You can also call the voicemail line, 206-339-FBSD. That's 206-339-3273. Aren't you impressed by that?
I'm very impressed.
Anthony can't remember it. Tony has a real tough time remembering those. But we got him trained finally in the last couple episodes. He does remember at least the email. So, with that, we'll call it a night. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.
Bye, everybody.